Well, good morning, everybody. Got your Bible? Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. This morning, what I would like to preach on, what I would like us to study for the next little bit, is I would like us to look at two keys of the early church. We're going to look at two keys of the early church. And so sometimes you're going to ask me, you may think, what do you mean when you say the early church? What we're going to look at is we're going to look at first century, what did the church look like? And in fact, in Acts chapter 2, what you're going to see is we are going to look at how the first ever church in history operated, what they did, how they did it, and the way that they worshiped. And we're going to see, if you read the book of Acts, you'll see in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus ascends and the disciples gather together and they choose another apostle. In Acts chapter 2, we see that Peter preaches his first ever sermon after the resurrection of Jesus at the day of Pentecost. And after that sermon, you will see in the verse before, we're going to begin in verse 42. But in verse 41, you see that 3,000 souls are saved, baptized, and added to the roll, and thus begins the first ever church. And so when we look at how did the first church operate, these next five verses are going to tell us exactly what that first church did. So in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, we will read what Luke wrote. Luke writes, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions, and they were sharing them with all, as anyone might have needed. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for a beautiful day. God, I thank you so much that we get to have this opportunity to gather together and to worship you. God, I ask that for the next little bit, that you would help us to be eased of the worries and the fears and the anxieties that maybe we have going on outside these walls, and that God, just for the next little bit, we as Rose Hill Baptist Church can worship you through the preaching and the studying of your word. God, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much for the many ministries and the many ways that Rose Hill meets and reaches out into our community. God, I ask that you would continue to use Rose Hill to be a beacon of the gospel light in Ashland, Kentucky, and to the nations. God, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much for all of the time that I've been able to spend here so far. God, I love Rose Hill so much, and so God, I ask that you would be with us this morning. Let us have an amazing time worshiping you through the preaching and the studying of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we look at the early church here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see this church busting onto the scene for the very first time. And the first key to the growth and the early success of this church was they gathered together. Now, this gathering together is actually going to be something that is really important, because when I say they gathered together, they didn't just check off a box by showing up, hanging out, and going back home. Look at what Luke writes here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. He says these words at the beginning: "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship." One of the things that is so important about the gathering of the early church and the way they gathered together and worshiped is they gathered together intentionally. Their gathering together had a purpose that was far greater than checking off a box. It was far greater than just being there because they felt like they had a duty. Their gathering together was intentional, and it's seen in what Luke says, because he says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. What this means, and what I think is so important about worship, and why this matters, and what a healthy church really looks like, is a healthy church is filled with healthy members. In order for Rose Hill to reach the full potential and to be able to reach Ashland, Kentucky with the gospel of Christ, it's got to be filled with Christ followers who are fully and totally devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God. That is what was so key to their success, was it wasn't that they just went there because, well, their papaws, their mamaws, their moms, or their dads have always brought them there. The reason they were there is because they were fully and completely and totally devoted to the teachings of the apostles. Church, what is so important about gathering together as a church and this gathering here is that when we leave here and when we come back next week, we ought to have grown and developed our relationship with Jesus more than we were last week. The whole point of gathering together in church isn't so you can get your steroid, your shot of Bible for the week, and that's the thing that pushes you through. No, you're supposed to leave here a fully and totally devoted Christian. Somebody who is going to walk in a deeper and deeper relationship the way that this early church did. Because as you're going to see, what's so cool and what's so amazing about that early church and what I want to see out of Rose Hill is that it's a group of people fully devoted to the mission of God, to going out into Ashland, Kentucky, and to reaching the nations with the gospel. Because Rose Hill, we are primed, we are in a perfect place with a perfect opportunity to go out and to reach, and in order to do that, as a church, we've got to be a group of believers who are fully and totally devoted individually. One of the things that I think is so incredible, and it's the reason that I had Trey read this passage that I had him read, and we've seen in the past couple of weeks that Paul in Ephesians, and Paul in different places, and Peter all throughout Scripture, when they talk about the church, they always refer to the church as a body. We are a body with many people doing many different things. We have people who have skills in certain areas to do certain things that, in all honesty, I could never do. I would never be able to do it. I remember when we did our special needs VBS. I'm not good at that. That's something that I'm not good at, but we had members, we have people here who were primed and ready to go to reach the nations with the gospel through what the gifts they were given. And so we've got to be a group of people who are individually devoted to the mission of Jesus, who are devoting ourselves to the Word of God. And when we see that Paul calls us a body with many different parts that are doing many different things, there's really a reason for that. And I saw it whenever I was studying this. Because we think on this individual level that if I slack off on my Bible study, that if my sin, I think that it only affects me. What we see here in this early church is that sin affects the whole church. Sin is going to affect that. When you see, I think about it this way. We think that our little sins and the things and the way that I'm walking with Jesus or the way that I have a lack of a relationship with Jesus doesn't affect the church. It does. It affects the church in a mighty way. If you think about it, if you are to go out and you get just a tiny cut on your hand, that tiny cut seems so insignificant. It seems like it doesn't matter, and yet it gets infected, and it gets worse, and it begins to infect the entire body, and the whole body is thrown off based off of a little cut that you get. The church operates the same way. If we want to see Rose Hill reach the nations with the gospel, then it starts right with you, and it starts right with me. We've got to be people that we're going to leave here and we're going to say that I'm going to be somebody who is fully, totally devoted to the mission of God. I'm fully devoted to what he has called me to do, the way that we see this. Because their gathering, when they gathered together, fully devoted, they came back, and we're going to see this, they came back ready to praise, intentional to gather together with their church family. They took their church family seriously. They took their church seriously, so seriously, that they spent day in and day out devoting themselves to this devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God, so that when they gathered together, that the praise and the glory that took place in the church was only enhanced because of their devotion. Your devotion to Jesus on an individual level will enhance what is going on in this building. It was one of the things that I learned so early on in Bible college that helped me out tremendously, which is that if you want to see yourself grow in your prayer life and if you want to see yourself grow in your study life, just go share with somebody. Devote yourself to that, and you're going to see that as you naturally do that, the church is going to build. That we're going to see at the end of this that God is going to build Rose Hill and use Rose Hill in an incredible and a mighty way. But in order for that to do that, does that mean that we need a good leadership team? We do. Do we want good praise and worship? Yes, we do. Do we want a good kids ministry? We do. Do we want a good student ministry? We do. But all of that takes place if we have healthy individual members who are fully devoted to God. That's the way that the church is going to grow, is that it was a group of people in totally on fire for Jesus. One of the things that I find to be so cool, and I talked about this a little over a month ago preaching at another church, when you look at the early church and when you look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus would say, he would heal somebody, he would say, now don't go out and tell anybody yet. And what did they do? They turned and they ran and they told everybody that they can. Those were people that were totally on fire for God. They were totally devoted to the mission of Jesus. And yet we have a church that, I'm afraid, churches all across America that aren't fully devoted to Jesus the way that we ought to be. The way that the new church, the early church looked. We need a group of people who are fully committed, and that worship isn't something that I just roll out of bed because of my alarm clock, but that when I wake up, I'm prayerful, I'm studying, I'm preparing my heart, I'm preparing my mind, I'm preparing my family for the means of worship gathering together here in this building this morning. That's really what I want. I want a church that is totally and fully devoted to the ministry of Jesus so that we can see the nations changed by the gospel of Jesus. That's the whole goal, and that was so key to them, was that when they gathered together, it wasn't just that they gathered together, because gathering together is important, but their gathering together wasn't just doing it because they were going through the motions. Every single week, every time they gathered in a different person's house, every time they went anywhere, they were intentional about being fully devoted to Jesus in that moment. On our drive to church, we've got to be intentionally and fully devoted to Jesus, because then and there, that is the means by which our worship is going to be enhanced on a Sunday morning. That is the way that worship in this building is going to glorify God in the greatest way possible, is if we're just devoted on an individual level. We want to think that it's programs, and we want to think that it's certain ways to do things, and it's certain areas and people to meet and things to do. It's not. It's just a group of people fully obedient to Jesus. That's all it is. And he goes on and he says to them, he says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They're continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. After they have gone in their week and they have fully devoted themselves to prayer, they are intentionally gathering together at that fellowship to break bread and to pray for one another. They are intentional about that. Church, we've got to be making sure, and I want you to hear me on this, because I think that, I'll tell you this, I think that Satan has created such a lie in our culture today that has got American culture gripped so tight. You were never created to be an individual who was isolated from everybody. You weren't. From the moment man is created, we are created, Eve is given, because we are not to be alone. We see that they are told to go and they are to have children and to be fruitful and to multiply. And the reason they are to do that is because they are to also exist within a community. Church, stop buying into the lies of culture that I can be alone, I can do it all on my own, my faith is all my own. It never was supposed to be that. You were always meant to be gathered together in a community of believers, in a family of believers who were going to uplift you and uphold you and carry you through and to bear your burdens. Satan has built this lie into us that I can do this on my own. My faith is my own, so I don't need to be a part of a church because of X, Y, and Z. No, the reality is it is absolutely necessary for you to gather together and to be part of a group of believers who are going to uplift you. Because when you're isolated and when you're alone and when you're away from worship and you're away from church, Satan's got you right where he wants you. That's the place that he would have you to be, because when you're alone and when you're in your thoughts by yourself, we've all been there late at night when our thoughts are eating us alive. Don't let Satan do that. We've got to make sure that every single Sunday we gather together intentionally and fully devoted to the ministry of Jesus, to what the Holy Spirit is doing, so that our worship is enhanced, and so that way we are not alone and we are in a community the way that God has always created us to be. Church, don't think that it's okay to skip church. Don't think that it's okay to miss out on this, that it's not going to have an impact on you. The early church made it a massive point to gather together. They made a huge deal in the middle of persecution, in the middle of anxiety, in the middle of worry, in the middle of being attacked. They made sure that they gathered together at every opportunity that they could because they were going to be fully devoted to Jesus. They were going to fellowship with one another. They were going to break bread with one another, and they were going to pray for one another. One of the beautiful things about joining Rose Hill, being a member at Rose Hill, or being a member of a church anywhere, is that you are a part of a family. Church, I would tell you, it's your responsibility if you're sitting in this room today that if you see people you don't know, it's your job to walk up and introduce yourself to them. And that's if they're a brand new person, or that's if there's somebody that sat in a pew, five pews away from you for the past 3 years and you've never talked to them. We're not meant to be strangers, isolated from one another, singing the same songs and listening to the same guy preach up here. We are gathered together, fully devoted to Jesus, to worship him as a family that sits here today. That's what we are. I've been on vacation this past week, but I found out that after this, we're going to be praying and anointing somebody. That's the purpose of church. Is that there is a family in here that is in need of help, and they know that they are not alone, but they are surrounded by a family who loves them so deeply and is going to carry their burdens and pray for them because they know the God of the universe can do anything. That's the whole reason that we're here. Don't buy into this American culture lie that we're supposed to be isolated. This is your family. You look around and you see a group of people who you ought to love the way that a family loves. And we are to care for and we are to carry the burdens of one another. We are to praise when they praise. We are to rejoice when they rejoice. And we are to grieve when they grieve. And we are to carry their burdens. But that is what a church does. When the early church gathered, they were intentional. They were intentional before they ever walked into the doors because they were completely and totally devoted to Jesus. And when they gathered together with the purpose of joining together in this family, so that they could lift each other up, they could break bread, and they could pray for one another. So the first key to the growth of the early church and to really the growth of Rose Hill is that we gather together, but when we gather together, our gathering is intentional. We are here with a purpose, and that purpose is that we can see the nations come to faith in Jesus Christ. The second key that Luke tells us about. First, they gathered together intentionally. But second, the second key, they were united in missions. They were united in missions. Look at what Luke writes here, beginning in verse 43. He says, Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. So we see that the early church is beginning to see through the work of the apostles that God is working. And I can tell you this, one of the cool things, just a sidebar, is in all of my time here, I have seen God work and move in incredible ways at Rose Hill. And I am beyond excited to see the many different ways that he is going to work as we leave here today. Because he is not done with this church yet. He is still working. And the second key is that they were united in missions. Look at what Luke writes here in verse 44. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. When Luke writes this in verse 44, I want you to recognize something. Luke is not saying that when the church gathered together that they all had the same favorite color, they all had the same favorite sports team, and that they all liked the same color paint on the walls of the church that day. That's not what Luke was writing there. What Luke is saying when he writes that is Luke is saying that they were so bought in on the mission of the church that they were willing to do whatever it took for the mission of the church to be achieved because it was the Holy Spirit who was leading. They were so bought in, they were willing to do whatever it took. And you even see that in the next verse. And this is so incredible. He says in verse 45, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have needed. They were so bought in, they were selling things, they were giving whatever it took to make sure that the mission of the church could succeed. And you look at that and you say, well, how is it? Why is it that the church was so unified? It's because of the whole point of what we see in the chapter, which is the Holy Spirit has unified that church. Church, we live in a culture today, and it's such a touchy subject, but I think it has to be talked about. We live in a culture today where we walk around and we just question every leader. From the highest of leaders to the manager at McDonald's who didn't get my order right, I question them all. And so you say, how is it that the church could buy in? The church could buy in because even though people may fail, they were so bought in and they were so devoted that they knew they were following the ministry and what the Holy Spirit was doing. Here's what I'm going to tell you. There are leaders who have failed us in all parts of life because they are people and they are flesh and they are going to fail, but the Holy Spirit is not going to fail in His leadership. If we are a church that is gathered together and if we are a group of people who are fully devoted to Jesus and we are Holy Spirit led, then we know that what Rose Hill Baptist Church is doing is being led by the Holy Spirit to reach the nations with the gospel in the way that we were made to do. That's the reason that they were able to buy in so well, is because it wasn't because they had the absolute they didn't have a perfect pastor, they didn't have a perfect person, they didn't have a perfect leadership team. They had people leading them who were also sinners, who were also falling short, but the reason they were so confident and so bought in is because they were willing to be unified by the Holy Spirit. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. When you look into the world around you is not unified. The only way Rose Hill Baptist Church is ever going to be unified is if they are unified by the Holy Spirit. In our flesh, we will never unify. Because in every part of life outside of this church that is not Christian, you see time and time again that they fail and that they divide because they are not unified. Because their flesh gets in the way, their pride gets in the way, their ego gets in the way, whatever it is about them gets in the way that stops that organization, stops that place from being successful. And I'm going to tell you the only way Rose Hill Baptist Church is going to survive every single day for the rest of Rose Hill's existence is because they are unified by the Holy Spirit. Because we can be absolutely certain that despite the fact that you are looking at a flawed preacher who screws up time and time again, that the Holy Spirit is leading this church in the direction that it ought to go to reach the nations with the gospel. That's the whole point. The whole point of the early church wasn't so that way they could vie for power, and it wasn't so that way they could create factions and they could do things their own way. The whole church, the early church, their whole goal was to gather together so they could go out and reach the nations with the gospel by any means necessary. That's got to be the goal. That's got to be the mission. That's got to be the calling of what Rose Hill Baptist has been given, is that we're going to leave from here today as a fully devoted Christian, and that we are a group of people who are united, not because of our likenesses, but because of the Holy Spirit, so that we can go out and see Ashland, Kentucky change with the gospel of Jesus. Because I'm telling you what, I love it here so much, and I know for a certain that God is going to use this church in incredible ways in Ashland, Kentucky, and God is going to use this church in incredible ways to reach the nations. And that is done because we are a group of Christ followers who are completely and totally devoted to Jesus, who are gathering together to fellowship with Him, praying for fellowship with each other, praying for one another, and that we are a group of people who are united by the Holy Spirit. It is going to be the Holy Spirit who is going to be the one who is going to devote us, who is going to unite us. And he says here in beginning back in verse 44, Luke writes, "And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might need." You see, church, whenever that church is unified, and I believe this of Rose Hill as well, when that church is unified, they are going to go out and to reach the nations with the gospel by any means necessary. They do exactly what we have tried to model and we continue to model, which is that the church sees the needs of the community and they go out and they reach the nations with the gospel. Church, I don't know if you realize this. It is our job to meet the needs of people, not because we just want to meet the needs, but because those needs are the perfect opportunity for gospel conversations. Yes. Yes. One of the things that I think is so cool about Rose Hill is that we are in Ashland, Kentucky, in a place that has so many different needs. You look around at our community and you see there are tons of different needs, and that means there are tons of gospel opportunities right here for Rose Hill Baptist Church. That means that we are in a prime position, in a place where the fields are white unto harvest. We just need laborers who are fully devoted to the teaching of the apostles, to the Word of God. And when we are a people who are unified by that, when we are unified by the Holy Spirit, we are going to go out and we are going to reach the nations with the gospel because we have been unified by the Holy Spirit. And then look at what he says in verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and with sincerity of heart. When you see this, what the church did, and this is just the cycle that the church, that Rose Hill, I want to see us in and us continue in. We fully devote ourselves to Jesus. We intentionally gather for worship. And then we go out into the nations, fully devoted to reach them so that we can come back and gather again next week. That's what the church did. That was how the early church operated, was they wanted to make sure. And then look at what Luke writes here in verse 47. He says, I'll back up to verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. We see in verse 47 that as a result of our full devotion, as a result of our reaching the nations with the gospel, they gather back together and praise God. And here's the last thing that I would say about this before I close. Luke tells us the way the church is going to be built is the Lord adds their number day by day. It does not matter how good your speaker is. It does not matter how nice your Sunday school teacher is. It doesn't matter how fun your youth pastor is. None of that matters, because the thing that matters most is that it is the Lord who is going to add to the ministries of Rose Hill Baptist Church. The church is going to grow not because I create some program or because we use some program, but the church is going to grow because we follow these two keys. Because we see that we are to be a church who is completely and totally unified by the Holy Spirit on missions. And that as we go on missions in our individual life, our life is going to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we are going to be intentional in the way that we gather together. And when we gather together intentionally, and when we gather together and we go out into the nations, reaching them with the gospel, preaching and telling them about Jesus, this church is going to grow because we have simply been obedient and because God has added to our numbers. Church, I truly believe, as I close, I truly believe that the best days of Rose Hill Baptist Church are ahead of us. I truly believe that. That doesn't mean that the past, that they didn't reach, they didn't do well, but what it means is I believe that the God of the universe, the one who led the Israelites out of Egypt, the one who rose from the grave, that one is still working right here, right now, in the members of Rose Hill Baptist Church. And that because each one of us have breath at our lungs and because the doors are still open, I truly believe that God is going to use this church in an incredible way, that we are going to look back and we're not going to say, look at how great Cameron was, or we're not going to say, look at how great this person was, but that we're going to look back and we're going to say, look at what God did through a group of people who were just fully devoted on an individual level. Who were willing and were unified by the Holy Spirit so they could go out on missions into their city, into their community, and reach them with the gospel the way that Jesus used this early church. I want to look like that church. I want us to look like that church. And that starts first with you individually. You individually being devoted, you individually gathering together intentionally, and that as we gather together, we're not united by our favorite colors, we're not united by our favorite sports teams, but that each person here, across all age groups, across all different ways of being brought up, across the ways that we look, across it all, we are unified because the Holy Spirit is at work in Rose Hill Baptist Church. Let me close this in prayer. God, I thank you so much for a beautiful day. God, I thank you so much for Rose Hill Baptist Church. God, I thank you so much that I know for certain that you are still at work here. God, I want to ask that you would help each and every person, that you would start with us at the individual level, that each and every person today would leave here ready to be completely and totally devoted to you, that we would be devoted in you in the way that we carry ourselves, in the way that we study, in the way that we pray, and that, God, when we gather together, we wouldn't look at this as a time of just checking off a box, but that when we gather here on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night, God, that we are gathering together intentionally with the means of praising, and intentionally so that we can gather together with our family of believers and pray and lift up one another. God, I also ask that you would continue to keep Rose Hill unified by the Holy Spirit. God, I ask that you would use your Spirit to work at Rose Hill in a mighty way so that the Ashland, Kentucky, and that the nations are reached with the gospel of Jesus. God, I know Rose Hill is primed for that, and I know Rose Hill's best days are ahead of us, God, so I ask that you would use us, that we would, each and every person, individually, would be obedient to you and to your calling that you have on our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, that's quite a call. That when we look to the scripture, the question of healthy church, the question of path ahead is not any program, but the question is, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And we look at what the Bible says, and the greatest motivation and the greatest action that we can ever do is say, can we do what they did? That the priority of our life isn't about trying to repeat something. The priority of our life is not trying to carry out some type of program, but it's asking a simple question. What does the Bible say? Do we believe Him? You know, this morning in our Bible fellowship class, we see an incredible contrast. A man who was big, who was proven, who was intimidating, against a guy carrying cheese sandwiches who'd been tending the sheep. But he kept saying one thing. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. He reminded even his opponent, you are not of the covenant of God. And his confidence was not in any person. His confidence was in the person of God, the promises of God. You know, today we can look ahead, Rose Hill Baptist Church, and we can look ahead and say things aren't what they were in our community, in our world, in our church. We can look ahead and say, God is still God, and He is still very, very much at work. You know, but as Cameron pointed out, it begins with that individual commitment, that individual relationship with Jesus. You know, that starts with knowing Him. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And if the answer to that is yes, then the question is, am I walking with Him? What does my relationship with Him look like? You know, so today, this may be a call to salvation. You need to come to Jesus as your Savior. Today, this may be a call for personal revival. Assessing your life. Has there ever been a time in my life that I've been closer with the Lord than I am right now? And if the answer to that is yes, then it's a call to revival. It's a call to recommitment of devotion. It's a call to follow Him anew and fresh. Would you stand with me right where you are? You know, only you can answer those questions. Only you can. But I promise you that when we look to the Scriptures, these are questions that we're to answer again and again and again. So we're going to sing this song together. And maybe this is a time that you come. You come because you want to know, what does the Bible say about getting saved? Maybe this is a time that you come because it's a time you want to kneel for personal revival. Maybe it's a time you come to pray for God's leadership, direction, and His presence in our church. With all of that, let's respond to the Lord as He leads us. Let's sing this together. Let's respond to Him.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God.